gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is September 5th, 2018. It's Wednesday. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
We got Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs, and her website is thepowerherbs.com. But before we get to Wendy, let's get the updates on the markets today. So let's get them up here and updated. Gold today, it was up a couple dollars most of the day, still hovering. I can't get above that 1200 level. 1197.70, up $5.60. Silver was up 4 cents today at 1421. Platinum was up 8 at 790, but palladium was down 7 at 982. The USDX today was down 27 at 95.14. Crude oil was hit for 1.05 at 68.82. The markets were down most of the day from early morning trade when I started watching Bloomberg very, very early. And, it was up and down all day. The Dow was up 22 points, 25,975. The NASDAQ was down 96 points at 7,995. The S&P was down 8 at 2,888. 10-year yield, 2.90%. Euro was 116, of course, acting in the opposite of the dollar. European and Asian markets are down. Hong Kong was down over 700 points, down a little over 2.5%. London was down 1%. Germany was down about 1.5%, mainly for all these emerging market problems. Perhaps it is now beginning to filter through, and maybe that contagion is going to be showing up on our doorstep here in the very near future. But we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. First, we have Wendy Wilson joining us. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hi there.
I thought we'd talk about how is your telomeres doing? Do you know how they're doing?
Telomeres.
Not too good.
Well, most people don't even know what a telomere is, but science describes a telomere as a type of cap that's at the end of your chromosome. So this telomere, they say, is made up of enzymes and protein and RNA, and the longer your telomere is, the younger and more vital you are. So science has come close to associating the health and wellness of your telomeres with the fountain of youth. So as we age, science is saying the telomere shrinks or decreases or becomes shorter. So when we die, science states our telomeres are nearly all but gone. And scientists have conducted studies on how to intervene or lengthen your telomere. So telomeres are, in essence, a genetic material, and science is trying to invent ways to change or manipulate it. Therefore, science thinks our telomeres are indicators of life expectancy and that lifestyle affects them. So we're going to check it out. Now, Better Nutrition also had a mention about telomeres in May of 2016. They said in 2009, researchers were awarded the Nobel Prize for discovering how telomeres project chromosomes and protect them and about our genetic material. So according to science, people are, getting diagnosed with cancer, and they have noticed that people with cancer have shorter telomeres on their chromosomes. Also, cancer cells don't have any telomeres on them. So scientists are saying in their studies that stress will affect your telomere and have found that a constant stress, if you got a job with constant stress, it will shorten your telomeres and promote what they call cellular aging, even heart disease and diabetes. Now, this Italian study reported that short telomeres were associated with a lot of inflammation and what they call metabolic oxidized stress. An Australian study also found that the length of a telomere was associated with cognitive impairment and dementia conditions like Alzheimer's. So the National Geographic also reported on the health of people that lived in what they called blue zones. And these are not industrialized areas, but the people living there tend to be in better health. They have longer telomeres, according to science. And scientific studies are saying telomeres are shortened when there is a risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and cancer. Have you guys not heard about this stuff in science, or is this new?
No, I haven't heard about telomeres.
No.
Well, I heard about inflammation, though. They point to inflammation as being, you know, a big problem of a lot of these diseases and so forth. That's kind of like the cornerstone of it all, so to speak.
Right. Well, I look at telomeres as a kind of coat covering or even hat at the end of the chromosome. So it's kind of a protective area. And Michigan also, researchers at the University of Michigan also found this August, by the way, 2018, they found that your diet influences your telomeres. So they say if your diet's high in fruits, vegetables, and whole ancient grains, along with very little sugar or processed salt or processed meats, it will slow down cellular aging so you keep your telomeres longer. And according to Cindy Leung, she's a professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health, she said the telomeres shorten in length during each cell cycle. And a cell cycle is typically 24 hours. So telomeres are DNA, she says, which are directly influenced by your diet, end of quote. So there's really no other explanation other than if you have longer telomeres, if they're longer in length, it's been influenced by a diet that's high in antioxidants and also has foods that reduce inflammation. So the right foods actually create this biochemical environment where your telomeres are preserved and thrive. So within 6 days, you can change that with diet. Isn't that crazy?
That is not, yeah. What is the best way to reduce or ease inflammation?
Well, you definitely want to use antioxidants, and you want to stay away from diets that are high in meat and potatoes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Inflammation usually comes from people not getting enough fruits and vegetables and things like that. And, you know, it's kind of become a third occupation, if you will, trying to eat right now, you know, because so much of our food is processed. It's got a lot of additives. And so we're having to kind of whack away out of our pantry list and get some really good stuff in there. Now, people who are at risk that having shorter telomeres, according to science, if they're not eating the organic foods, the whole grain rich type foods, green leafy vegetables, nuts and fruits. You know, this kind of smacked at me as the Mediterranean diet. If you eat the Mediterranean diet, you can really protect the length of your telomeres. Other studies there have been done have repeatedly said men have a higher risk over women to have shorter telomeres because of their eating habits. They tend to eat things with more sugar, especially beverages, and also they eat more processed foods. They usually grab and go kind of thing. So there are some foods and herbs that will preserve your telomeres. In general, we were hitting on some things, but a diet that has a lot of green leafy vegetables, legumes, nuts, fruits and vegetables with pigments like the yellow and the reds and the orange, they tend to also help. So these all influence the DNA. So your foods, for better or worse, are going to, you know, influence your DNA and how long you're going to live. So the main thing is think nutrients are going to help your telomeres. So you want to get more antioxidants into the diet, a lot of omega-3 fatty acids into the diet. So, you know, fatty fishes like mackerel, sardines, salmon. You want to use foods that have whole food vitamin C and E in them instead of using synthetic supplements. Mineral-rich foods, especially foods that contain magnesium, and also green tea, the oolong tea, Chinese tea, excellent for helping out your telomeres. Yeah. So Mediterranean diet. Just think Mediterranean diet, and it's pretty good safe zone there.
Is there an age where it just cuts off totally, or is it something that you can improve?
We're too late, Melody.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, no, I think you know, you influence the DNA, the RNA, and your telomeres will not diminish as quickly as they could. So oxidative stress seems to eat away at them a little faster. So if your cellular cycles within 24 hours, you know, you can lose more ground, you know, if you're eating a poor diet within that cycle. So if we look at the Mediterranean diet, you know, they have everything in place. They got their fish, the olive oil, the fruits and vegetables. One thing that was really interesting was some Chinese research. They said that astragalus root, which Chinese have been using for over 2,000 years, actually protects your chromosomes and your telomeres. So they're declaring that your chromosomes with long telomeres will actually function better. And the telomeres represent really your body's biological age, not your chronological, but your biological age. This is a quote from Better Nutrition. They said Harvard Medical School study found that healthy diets, such as your Mediterranean diet, can slow telomere aging by an estimated 1.5 years. Women who ate the Mediterranean diet had telomeres that were 13 and a half years younger. End of quote. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Wow. Well, here's some diets that you don't want, because these diets will encourage inflammation and will sabotage your telomeres. So here's what you want to avoid. You want to avoid high fructose corn syrup, table sugar, artificial trans fats, processed vegetable and seed oil. Okay, so try to stick with maybe olive oil or coconut oil. Refined carbohydrates, processed meats, and excessive alcohol.
Oh,
yeah,
bummer.
I know. Well, everything in moderation.
Yes, I know. I'm just teasing.
Well, and so aside from those foods that will help us out, or the ones we should avoid, here are some foods and herbs, actually, that will reduce the inflammation and give that oxidative stress a kick in the pants to leave. Your green leafy vegetables, olive oil, tomatoes. Anybody out there likes tomatoes? Keep eating those. Almonds and walnuts, as well as your fatty fish. And berries, all your berries, blueberries, strawberries, cherries, even oranges now, as well as pineapple, flaxseed, your willow bark and meadow sweet. They have the salicin, which reduces inflammation, as well as turmeric, and of course that's astragalus root that the Chinese were mentioning. So these will all help you out and keep that oxidized stress off of the telomeres so that they are longer, for longer periods of time.
You know, it's really amazing the amount of money, billions and billions and billions of dollars are spent to, you know, for losing weight, to get healthy and so forth. And yet, deep down, we all know that it's all about our diet. We all know what we're supposed to eat, and yet we don't. And, you know, so many don't.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if you've been grown up like on TV from the 60s and 70s and forward, you know, we've been programmed not to eat healthy. Okay, we've been programmed to eat Jiffy Pop and Pop Tarts and all the junk food. So we're working against our psyche. We're trying to retrain our palate to like things that aren't so sweet and so salty. Right.
Yeah.
So it is a work. It's a mental shift as well as a physiological one. I was just talking to someone this morning about that periodic fasting that is a big craze for losing weight. Have you heard about that one? Where you have a 24-hour period in your day, but out of that day, you only eat during 8 hours of it.
I heard something like that before, yeah.
Yeah, and you can drop as much as a pound a day. It's just, you know, how you want to do. I don't know what your schedule is. Some people have different schedules, but it works for me if I start my eating at 11 a.m. and then I can eat as late as 7 p.m. So, and it's just making the foods you eat count, because they've done studies. They started in 1900 studying the nutrition in foods, and our great grandparents ate half of what we eat now as far as
true
volume,
true,
because there was more nutrition in the food. So we're having to make up for that with more volume. So if we make sure we get, you know, the certified organic fruits and vegetables that were grown in soil that has minerals still in it, we're not having to eat as much volume. And when you get that nutrition and you make it count, you're not going to be hungry the rest of that day. And you're going to be sleeping at least 8 hours of it. So,
well, I think, too, a lot of it is also not only the nutrients, but also the conditioning. As you said, with television, grandparents, I mean, we didn't watch TV 24/7 like people do now. And you didn't have the commercials and the food and the, you know, the programming to eat more either. You know, they basically ate when they were hungry.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's an herb I like to use. It's called gentian root. If you're trying to prevent overeating, because we typically overdo it, especially during the holidays, right? You can take gentian root about a half hour before you sit down to that big Thanksgiving meal, and you will not overeat. Isn't that great?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
What's that herb called again?
It's called gentian.
Gentian.
Yep, gentian root. They used to make what we call a cocktail happy hour out of it. They make vermouth out of this root, and they would serve these vermouth cocktails a half hour before dinner to improve digestion so you wouldn't overeat. Isn't that something?
So you can just have a martini.
Oh, just kidding,
ladies and gentlemen, just kidding.
You'll find a way around, won't you?
No, just kidding. But hey, Wendy, we got about 30 seconds left.
Oh, okay.
Great information today.
Okay, well, thank you. And don't forget, you know, your organ cleanses using your herbs help remove a lot of oxidative stress as well. So you can give us a call if you're interested. Get a free catalog, 866-229-3663, Apothecary Herbs, or visit thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. All right, we'll see you next time.
All right, appreciate it, Cindy. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back right after these few short commercials. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. You know, Dave, before we start talking about the deficits and everything like that, it was pretty bizarre. Early this morning, there was a JFK airport. A plane was quarantined after 100 people suddenly fell ill with fevers and coughs. Now, there's been conflicting reports on this as far as just how many, but the flight 203 from Dubai was heading to New York. There was 500 passengers, and dozens of them were reporting feeling ill. Now, some said there were 100. The airline tried to down-talk it and says, well, there just wasn't that many. but there was others who were saying that people were actually getting sick in the flight, during the flight, and some of them, pilots and the stewardesses, flight attendants, excuse me, the flight attendants, they were taken by ambulance to the local hospitals. I guess they called in the CDC. And but you know what's interesting, Dave? Some of them, they were allowed to leave. That they were feeling ill, but felt like they didn't need any attention from the medical professionals. And I thought, you know what? I mean, this is how something serious could really spread if they don't know what it is. Or do you think they would have just kept them on there if they had thought it was something more serious?
I think the latter. I mean, it strikes me that you know, the CDC probably has some authority in emergency-like situations where, you know, they think, you know, the chances of, as you called it, you know, that some kind of contagion spreading if they left would require them to stay confined. Now I'm not sure exactly what kind of legal authority there is. I suspect, you know, that we can follow up on this. I suspect there's probably some federal legislation that does empower the CDC, you know, in concert with local law enforcement officials to do just that.
Yeah.
So, you know, one would hope that, you know, I mean, with more than 500 people reportedly on that flight, you know, I think the CDC official was quoted as saying they'd be allowed to continue with their travel plans. So, but, you know.
Pretty bizarre, though.
Indeed. Indeed.
I mean, I understand, I guess, on your cruises and so forth, you can have a large amount of passengers get ill from the food and so forth, but something interesting too, and it's weird that it's happened at the same time, is there was a flight in France, Perpignan, I don't know if I pronounced that right, France. They had a flight that had just arrived from Algeria, and there was like over 100 people that were taken ill on that flight, and they're concerned that they might have cholera. So, you know, and that can be also dangerous, as that's an infection in the small intestine. So, weird things happening on those airlines, and it's just, you know, I'm sure it's just a coincidence of the two airlines, but still, I don't remember hearing anything like this happening before.
Next time I go to Dubai, Melody, I'm driving.
Are you going to drive?
Yes. I'm going to drive in one of my James Bondish duck cars that go over land and sea, and hope for good weather.
Well, I'm going to go to Dubois. Is it Iowa? Dubois, Iowa. Anyway,
Dubuque.
Dubuque, Iowa. It could be Dubuque too, but
I think there's a Dubois,
yeah.
Pennsylvania.
That's what I'm thinking of. That's close to Dubai. Anyway.
close to the Finger Lakes, too.
Anyway, well, you know what? There is... let me get back to what we wanted to talk about today. Trade deficits are increasing to a five-month high and in July. And, of course, the exports of soybeans and civilian aircraft declined and imports hit a record high, suggesting that trade could be the drag on the economic growth in the third quarter. The increase was the biggest monthly widening since 2015. The Commerce Department said this morning that the trade gap jumped 9.5% to $50 billion. And, of course, this is widening for a second straight month. The politically sensitive goods trade deficit with China, that surged 10% to a record $36.8 billion.
Yeah, the trade gap continues to widen despite the administration's policies, which have left the U.S. embroiled in tariff disputes with the EU, Canada, Mexico, and China in particular. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau indicated yesterday that Canada would not bend on key demands at talks taking place this week with the U.S. to update NAFTA. He told reporters that there are a number of things we absolutely must see in a renegotiated NAFTA. Now, officials for both sides have been meeting in Washington today in a bid to settle some major differences.
Yeah, but he failed to mention what those items are.
We will find out for sure.
We'll find out what they are, but so we'll see how this goes. But wouldn't also the stronger dollar also have an impact on these numbers, too? And so, I mean, I think that's part of why the administration is crying for a weaker dollar. But with a stronger dollar, it's going to hurt your exports. So,
yes, indeed. Gonna,
especially when every currency in the world is weaker. With the emerging markets and everything having problems with their currency. So, you know, a strong dollar is going to, you know, work opposite of the administration's trying to eliminate the. But if we're also having a great economy, people are buying more things and they're going to go with the cheaper item, and that cheaper item is going to be imported. So, you know, it's, again, it's a conundrum, I suppose you can say.
There but, you go.
President Trump continues to defend the duties on steel, aluminum imports, and a range of Chinese goods as necessary to protect American companies from unfair foreign competition. And this should have been done a long time ago. But I think, what's the deadline with China? Do we know what that deadline is, Dave?
They keep new ones. It's soon.
I think it was this week, I thought. Yeah. Tomorrow, something I thought. But the administration says eliminating the trade deficit is going to put the economy on a sustainable path of faster growth. And, of course, you can argue both sides. And the two biggest economies in the world continue to slap a retaliatory tariffs so far on a combined $100 billion of products since early July. So we'll see how this continues to go, Dave.
Yes, we will. With Mexico now in on a supposed new deal, most people think that ratchets up pressure on Trudeau to get Canada in the mix. But Trudeau, as we mentioned just a bit ago, is, his trade rep last week both have said now that, China's certainly interested, but, is not willing to compromise on the issues that they think are most important for Canada. So I think the jury is out. I'd be very surprised, however, if, Canada and the U.S. did not come to terms.
I agree. They're making their political points and so forth to show that they're citizens, that they're there fighting for them, but at the end of the day, you know, they're going to come around and agree, because they all know, again, who's truly in control. We talk a lot about debt. We talk a lot about global debt, our debt, government's debt. There's a reason we talk about debt, because we're trying to help you understand how great the debt is and that it will never be repaid. It can't be paid. And it's going to show that 10 years, even after the Great Recession, it just continues to get, you know, we get deeper and deeper. It's the debt that pulls us out. So 10 years after the worst financial panic since the 1930s, the growing debt burdens in key developing economies are still fueling fears of a new crisis. And of course, it is spreading far beyond the disruption sweeping Turkey. And again, we often talk about confidence. The loss of investor confidence in the Turkish lira has surrendered more than 40% of its value this year, and that's only a preview of debt problems that could engulf countries such as Brazil, South Africa, Russia, Indonesia. Turkey is not the last one. Turkey is only the beginning.
Yeah, for now, Melody, few experts think that a broader crisis is imminent, though Argentina last week asked the IMF to accelerate a planned $50 billion rescue as its peso crashed to a historic low. But the dangers of a financial contagion that could hit Americans by crushing U.S. exports, and one that sends the stock market plunging, should be taken more seriously, especially in light of the massive increase in global debt since the 2008 downturn. Total debt is a whopping, listen to this, folks, $169 trillion worldwide, up from the $97 trillion on the eve of the Great Recession. That's astounding. While previous debt crises involved U.S. households and later spendthrifty European governments, such as Greece, this time the concern centers on companies in emerging markets, especially those, and it's many of them, that have borrowed heavily in dollars and in euros. Turkey, for example, where companies and banks borrowed in recent years to finance bridges, hospitals, power plants, even a massive port development for cruise ships.
Mm, yes. Oh, but their debt's going into infrastructure, you know, and that is something that...
they have something to show for it at the end of when the crash comes.
So you have foreign investors, particularly European banks. They lent freely in search of higher returns in these markets when they were offering at a time when the U.S. Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank were keeping interest rates low. So we're supposed to correct a debt bubble, said David Rosenberg, and he's a chief economist of a wealth management firm. He says, what we did instead was we created more debt, and those bills are coming due. And Turkish borrowers, like those in other developing countries, may not have the dollars and the euros to pay them back. And that's in part because the Fed is raising interest rates in the midst of a healthier U.S. economy. The stronger dollar, along with the sinking lira, makes it increasingly expensive for Turkish borrowers to repay their dollar debts. Paying off a $100,000 loan at the start of this year would have required 379,000 lira. Now, the same loan, 9 months later, it would take more than 660,000 lira.
Say, that's some inflation, Melody. And, you know, what's crazy about that is that it could become worse and soon. You know, as you said, money is fleeing Turkey and other markets, at a time when many of the loans their companies took out in recent years are coming due. You know, globally, a record total of up to $10 trillion in corporate bonds have to be refinanced over the next 5 years. And last week, you know, we know Moody's cut its credit ratings on 20 Turkish financial institutions. You know, the rating agency cited a, quote, substantial increase in the risk, unquote, that banks would struggle to finance normal operations. You know, the prospect of a new global debt crisis is striking because the world's already seen two in the past 10 years. Authorities in the U.S. and Europe took steps after the 2008 crisis to avoid a repeat episode. You know, U.S. regulators required banks to hold significantly more emergency reserves. U.S. consumers, initially anyway, whittled down their debts. And in Europe, authorities forced overspending governments to embrace austerity programs. Yet, Melody, debt has grown, crazily. And is now almost 2.5 times the size of our global economy.
Yeah, it truly is amazing. And, you know, we've seen banks in recent years, they did face tougher regulatory scrutiny. I know the banks here now, regulation has been coming off of them. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how all our banks are going to be affected. Since they don't have the tight controls as, you know, maybe some of the other European banks do and so forth, if they have any at all. But so they have these banks did increase their global corporate lending by a small amount. You have Chinese borrowers. They have been the most active among the developing markets. But 95% of the corporate bonds in China are issued in yuan, minimizing the financial dangers there. But for other emerging markets that are borrowed in dollars and euros, rising interest rates is going to make it more expensive to borrow new money or refinancing the existing debt. And this is going to trigger a wave of defaults by corporate borrowers, with problems spreading far beyond Turkey and ultimately into the United States. And among the chief casualties from Turkey's plight will be the European banks, especially the Spanish institutions that have loaned Turkey more than $82 billion. And the rising dollar is going to erode the sales that major U.S. companies book overseas, which amounts to roughly 40% of revenue for members of the S&P 500 stock index.
That's astounding.
It is.
You know, even if Turkey's currency doesn't, you know, bring in a global crisis, you know, the impact is unlikely to be limited there. That's important to remember. One analyst said, you know, this is going to take a bite out of growth, which is going to affect the U.S., Europe, and the entire world economy.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Visit our radio page. You can listen to our program live, and of course you can sign up for a weekly newsletter also right from the website. And Dave, you know, let's talk about some more of finances and so forth. We have, I just want to say this real quick. We were talking during the break about Syria, and we were talking, going into the break, we were talking about Turkey. And if things happen inside Syria, and that's really becoming a big hot spot. And even reading Pat Buchanan this morning, he basically said, yeah, it's just a matter of time until that breaks open in Syria to, you know, of course, regime change. They've been wanting that forever. And you've got the war hawks in there that also want it. And so Turkey, you know, is, you know, you wonder what their relationship with Iran and Russia, how does this all play out if there is a major war? And I don't know if you would call Syria, Dave, a major war, or it could develop into a major war, but...
Well, you know, it depends on your perspective. I mean, in many respects, it already is. That is a major war. To the extent that there are multiple countries involved there, besides different factions of the Syrian people and the Syrian government, of course, Russia, the U.S., there's the Kurdish army to the north, you know, and a number of NATO allies. So, you know, in terms of size of troops, it's certainly not on the scale of what we've experienced over the last two decades in Iraq and Afghanistan. But certainly what's going on there could lead to certainly more involvement of other countries on a larger scale. That could really ratchet up tension, not just in that region, knock it on the chin of a number of countries. I'd say beware.
And it's almost like a lot of these countries are, it's the same place. You have Yemen, so you have the Saudis and, you know, Iran involved in that. I also saw that we're giving more weapons to Ukraine. So that's going to be heating up here shortly, and you've got Russia and everything. So it's like, and so it's going to be interesting to see what breaks out from all of this, if anything. Are these rumors of war, or are they something is actually going to develop in one of these spots? And it seems to be heading that way.
You're right. And now we're reading, and you know, just briefly mention it just because there's not enough credible evidence. But, you know, there are reports this afternoon that, James Mattis, our Secretary of Defense, could be on his way out, that the White House is looking into possible replacements. So that kind of turnover during these times of tensions, I think just creates, further uncertainty, geopolitical stability.
Speaking of, well, I'm not votes, tax cuts. You know, the Republicans, they were going to use this second phase of tax cuts to sort of force the Democrats into a difficult vote right ahead of the midterm elections. But now it looks like they're going to drop the effort. They're concerned that it might backfire. And the proposal would make the individual changes in last year's overhaul permanent, including the $10,000 annual cap for state and local tax deductions and one of the law's most disputed provisions. And it would put Republican lawmakers in high tax states like New York, New Jersey, and California kind of in a tricky position of either supporting the cap or voting against tax cuts backed by their own party. So, largely because of the so-called salt cap dilemma, the House Republicans are hitting the pause button on tax reform to legislation. And I think I said this yesterday, Dave, we're talking to Butch. I think it was yesterday, but I just think they're doing it because they don't have the money. There is no money
They're pulling back because of the every month they see the deficit projections
absolutely
increasing. Well, that's certainly plausible. In this pullback, that we're being told that lawmakers want to weigh the political benefits and the risks of a vote on the bill in the coming weeks. And assess if they have enough votes to pass it. It shows the problem the Republicans, are having this year. They try to take what they think is the signature policy achievement of the past 2 years to voters. At the same time, Democrats, threaten to end the GOP majority in at least the House. One option for Republican leaders is decide to just have the Ways and Means Committee mark up the bill and hold a vote on it in the next couple of weeks before shelving it. Or they could move forward and have a floor vote, as some are calling for, by the end of September. A decision to put the bill on ice before the election would signal Republicans' need to protect vulnerable members, Melody.
Yeah, but maybe it just comes down to about holding the vote before the November election. You have a lot of those property tax bills are issued or due in October, also including those states hit hardest by the salt cap.
Well, that's entirely true. In either case, I mean, tax cuts 2.0 has been viewed as, in the Washington vernacular, political messaging. Since regardless of what would happen in the House, it has virtually no chance of moving through the Senate, particularly before the November midterms.
This is kind of an interesting, this was some data that was released by the Congressional Budget Office, where the U.S. entitlement spending is increasing and it's going to the middle class. As we see wages, they've remained stagnant. More people can't afford middle class basics, and the income inequality continues to grow, and the middle class is increasingly relying on the federal safety net. This was a new report by the Brookings Institution, Future of the Middle Class Initiative. It is a mistake now to think of welfare as something just for the poor, the report's author says, Richard Reeves. He says the trend is most clearly seen in the second and middle income quintiles. He says there's the average household income was $31,000 and $54,000 in 2014, and this is according to the Tax Policy Center. One of every $7 spent on a social program benefits went to families in the middle quintile of the income distribution.
Yeah, interesting stuff, Melody. I mean, the federal safety net money is also making up a greater share of lower middle class incomes, according to that report, meaning that not only is more money going to the middle class, some middle class families depend on it more than others. Now, one key finding, and not surprising in my own estimation, healthcare is a big driver. Medicaid expansion in a lot of the states has made more lower middle-income Americans eligible for the program. And now less than half of Medicaid spending goes to the lowest income quintile. That's shocking. Medicaid spending on elderly households, defined as 65 years and older, has tripled since 1979, and around 60% of that spending went to elderly in the middle class. Now, increased subsidies for the Affordable Care Act reportedly also contributed to that overall trend.
Yeah, I'm sure it had a lot to do with the overall trend.
Yeah. Some generous subsidy.
Yeah, your premiums are going to be lower and you can keep your doctor. Okay. But when you see the premiums and so forth, yeah, that was a major impact. But this is interesting, where Germany is calling for a creation of a new system, not dollar-based. We saw this where China made the same kind of a statement right after the Great Recession of 2008. They came out and they didn't think that there should just be one currency that is the reserve currency of the world, that all your transactions are processed through the dollar. What 90, 80, 89, 90% of the world transactions are done with the U.S. dollar. In Germany, comes out, the foreign minister, Heiko Maas, called for the creation of an independent payment system that doesn't rely on the U.S. dollar. He said that Europe should not allow the U.S. to act over their heads and at their expense. And I bet that has a lot to do with Iran, because that's coming up also, where they're going to have, Europe is going to have to decide whether they're going to trade oil with Iran or not. And for that reason, he says it's essential that they strengthen European autonomy by establishing payment channels that are independent of the United States, creating a European Monetary Fund, and building up an independent SWIFT system. Can there be multiple SWIFT? I guess there are multiple SWIFT systems in the world, are there not?
Yeah, there already are. Although this would presumably, be intended to take that to a much higher level. I suspect, at least the German foreign minister Maas envisions, the entire European Union being a part of. This is something, coincidentally, that our good friend James Corbett writes about in his weekly article on the Corbett Report, and I'm sure in your interview with him on Friday, he'll no doubt want to talk a little bit more about his perspectives on this. But, for now, in light of the foreign minister's proclamation, I think the point here to be taken for listeners is that just another sign that the dollar's domination be coming to an end. The dollar, as we know, has been the most circulated currency in the world for decades. Almost 600 billion located outside of the U.S. And that combined with the relative emphasis on relative strength of the U.S. economy, has put the dollar in first place. Although we've seen recently, a slide, but the dollar's down to levels that it's had a hard time staying above since November of 2017. Aside from the obvious stagnation of the dollar, if Europe does succeed in creating its own SWIFT payment system, then it'd be able to create its own trade independent of Washington sanctions and protectionism, just as Melody indicated a few moments ago, i.e. Iran, meaning it could keep the Iran nuclear deal alive. But the fact that Europe seems to be taking a stand against dollar supremacy is telling, because it means that they've just had enough.
Well, this is an interesting and perhaps even alarming announcement by the foreign minister, as it comes on the heels of several interrelated global dollar destroyers. You have the dollar's hidden tax, the inflation rate, and renewed geopolitical tensions in Syria, which we talked about a little bit ago. You have smaller countries joining the anti-dollar crusade. We can't fight all those countries. We've tried, you know, maybe we'll keep trying, and protectionist trade policies that have proven largely, you know, ineffective in the past. So let's not forget to mention China, and you have Russia's petrol currency wars, you have recent Iran trade sanctions that were related to Ma's request for European independence from the dollar. So as we know it, the administration has issued sanctions on companies doing business transactions in Tehran. So far, it's had negative consequences. Russia and Germany are set to sign an agreement on an oil pipeline called Nord Stream 2, which will increase Russian energy exports substantially. This proposal has been attacked by the administration, claiming it makes Germany a captive of the Russians. And so, you know, it's not sure what's really pushing, you know, Germany forward to making these comments and so forth. But I do think a lot of it does have to do with the Iran and their agreement with, you know, being affected by the sanctions. So.
Yeah. You know, if the dollar does lose dominance as the global reserve currency, you know, big, and we mean big, economic changes will be on the way.
How about gold, 20,000?
Yeah, really.
Minimum.
Our good friend in Chicago who talked about $5,000 and $6,000 per ounce prices could very well be humbled in the light of this. But, you know, no matter how you look at it, folks, strange times for investors are here. More are right around the corner. So please think two steps ahead while there's still time.
Give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.